You're listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. For I Will Be With You. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible.
Welcome to the final For I Will Be With You podcast of the year for the 52nd week of the year from December 24th to December 31st. Covering Deuteronomy 31:1 to Deuteronomy 34:6. In honor of this occasion, I have managed to catch a cold, so hope you'll bear with me. So, Deuteronomy 31:1 to 31:2 says, Moses went out and spoke these words to all of Israel. He said to them, I am 120 years old today. I can no longer go out and come in, for God has said to me, you shall not cross this Jordan. So the Israelites are sitting on the far side of the Jordan River, which is probably where modern-day Jordan is located, about to cross over into the land of Israel. So according to the commentators, Moses is saying that he is too old to lead the Israelites into a war to conquer the promised land. At the same time, he reminds the people that it will make no difference. God will help them prevail. And there's a powerful lesson for us in this idea. Yes, we need other people to help us in recovery, but we should recognize that our guides in recovery are basically channels for God's will. We should not despair if we lose them. Some people in recovery fall apart if their sponsor dies or goes out of the program. And of course, this is a huge blow, but we need to remember that God is the one who gives us recovery, who helps us conquer our own personal promised land, so to speak. Moses understood this. He lovingly says goodbye to the people, leaving them with hope amid their grieving. And what's interesting to note is here we are talking about him still 3,000 years later, so obviously his words were never forgotten, and the Israelites succeeded even without his personal presence. Deuteronomy 31:7 reads, Moses summoned Joshua and said to him, before the eyes of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall come with this people to the land that God swore to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. So this is Moses giving encouragement to his successor, Joshua, saying, be strong and courageous. These words are carefully chosen. He's the greatest prophet and leader that the Israelites have ever known. He knew that his death could potentially tear the nation apart. Therefore, he says, for you shall come with this people to the land. The word with is interpreted to mean that Joshua was first among equals, so to speak. Joshua was the designated leader, Moses' appointed successor with Moses' blessing to lead the Israelites. Yet, what Moses is hinting is that Joshua is not being held at as some kind of superior person. He's not superior to other people. Everyone was equal. Joshua was first among equals. So he deserved respect. He was to be obeyed, but because he was a king who reigned. He was not the king. He was first among equals. And AA follows this idea too. It says in the traditions, our leaders are trusted servants. They do not govern. The traditions also encourage us to place principles before personalities. This is all wise advice. Egos and bad group dynamics can disrupt or even ruin our recovery. And Moses set the precedent with Joshua, and we should follow his example. Deuteronomy 31:9 reads, Moses wrote this Torah and gave it to the priests, the son of Levi, the bearers of the Ark of the Covenant of God, and to all the elders of Israel. So the Bible is the word of God. Moses wrote down the words of the Torah, the Bible, that God spoke into his ear. The verse says, this Torah. The question is why? What does he mean, this Torah? One answer is that we should be aware that the Bible we're reading today is the same Bible that God gave to Moses. It's the same book, the same words that Moses gave to the priests and the elders of Israel. And we can bear this in mind when we're struggling with addiction or the challenges of recovery. We could remember that God gave us a book just for us. And God also gave us the big book and all the incredible literature of the program. But God also gave us the Bible. This one, this Torah, this Bible that God, that Moses wrote down from God's words. You read it. This is, what is God's word for you today? Think about that. He wrote, the book was written down from the word of God over 3,000 years ago, but it's available for you today. You can access God's word for you today. Deuteronomy 32:1 says, give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and may the earth hear the words of my mouth. So this, we're in the last section of the book of Deuteronomy, which is sometimes called the Song of Moses. It is a song that Moses sang to the Israelites on the day he died. This is the first line of the song. The first line of the Song of Moses is, give ear, O heaven, and I will speak, and may the earth hear the words of my mouth. Moses wants to tell the Israelites of the bad things that will happen if they stray from the path of God's will. He also wants to tell them about the great joy they will experience in the land if they follow God's commandments. Saying, give ear, O heavens, Moses is asking heaven and earth to be his witness for what he has to say. He's about to die. So he's saying basically to the earth and the heavens, you're the witness to what I have to say. I'm going to die. Everyone standing here is eventually going to die. But you, the earth and the heavens, will be the witness to these words. And these words will live on. They will outlive him. They will outlive all of us. God's words, as spoken through Moses, are permanent. They're enduring for all time. And the commentators interpret this partly to mean that the heaven and the earth will be responsible for carrying out the punishments for the Israelites if they sin. And this sort of makes sense if you look at the bigger picture of what's being communicated in Deuteronomy. The heavens will hold back rain. The earth will hold back produce and food. This may seem dire, but we can look at it as reality. We are only here for a short time. The world will continue after we are gone. Will we make it a better place or not? The choice is up to us. Heaven and earth are witnesses to our behavior. They can punish us or reward us with God's direction based on our actions. Deuteronomy 32:4 says, the rock, perfect in all his work, for all his paths are justice, a God of faith without iniquity, righteous and fair is he. What does it mean when the Bible says that God is perfect? As human beings, we can point to events that occur in the world and ask, with seeming justification, is this perfect? Is this fair? And, you know, honestly, I think maybe all of us have had this kind of moment where you think, wow, this is really, how can God let something like this happen? But if we accept that God is perfect, then we should accept also that any lack of a understanding about what God does reflects a defect in us, not God. We cannot understand why God does things. God understands. That is the foundation of faith and humility. Accepting that we cannot understand everything that happens in the world is a step toward accepting that we are not in charge of the world. God is in charge of the world, and God can be our rock. A rock is indestructible. A rock is firm footing that does not let you down. You may not understand God, but God can still be your rock, the foundation of your life in recovery. Deuteronomy 32:13 reads, he would suckle him with honey from a stone and oil from a flinty rock. Being suckled with honey from a stone is an amazing double-edged metaphor of recovery. Finding spiritual sustenance in the seemingly harsh, unforgiving world is as miraculous as getting honey from a rock. The rock does not look as if it will produce honey, but the honey is there. God is our rock. If we do our work, we can get the honey that is in the rock. At the same time, getting honey from a stone, sort of like getting blood from a stone, as the saying goes, gives us a great image of the futility of trying to do things that are impossible, like trying to connect with active addicts or co-addicts. Or it's certainly possible, but it's futile. There's no point to it. You might as well be trying to get blood from a stone. Or, as they say in Al-Anon, don't try to buy oranges at the hardware store. Meaning, we should not try to get emotional support or nurturing relationships with people who are incapacitated with addiction or simply not able to provide sustenance. It's a very standard behavior. We've all done it to some extent. It's something to be avoided or at least thought through. Some stones have no honey in them. If we work on conscious contact with God, God can help us discern which stones are empty and which are full. Deuteronomy 33:25 reads, "May your borders be sealed like iron and copper, and like the days of your prime, so may your old age be." People with addiction problems are often said to have poor boundaries, meaning they don't know quite where they end and other people begin. Or put another way, they're often let other people get into their business and they get into other people's business. They don't sort of have a sense of I'm me and you're you. Sometimes there's a poorly established boundary. Now, the question is this good or bad? And it can be both, I think. Someone with poor boundaries also may have kind of an open soul. You know, they're open to other people, but also being open can make you vulnerable, like an unlocked gate. You're vulnerable to toxic ideas and bad people who can invade you. So Moses is talking about this on the national level, meaning the land of Israel should have solid borders, but we can also interpret this on a personal level. We should make our own personal boundaries like iron and copper. Build up our boundaries to make us impenetrable to harmful ideas and harmful people. But of course it's a balancing act, because if you're too closed off, if you're absolutely surrounded yourself with iron and copper, you will probably be less open to hearing what other people have to say. So you have to be open enough to listen, but protected enough to be safe. Learning from the Bible and focusing on conscious contact with God can help us develop personal boundaries that are strong enough to keep us sober while open to the right kind of thinking. So the final verse for the year and the final verse in the book of Deuteronomy is 34:5 to 34:6, which reads, "So Moses, servant of God, died there in the land of Moab by the mouth of God. He buried him in the depression in the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor, and no one knows his burial place to this day." So Moses dies, and God personally buries Moses in a secret place. This is a really fascinating and puzzling bit of the Bible. What can we learn from this? One interpretation is, I mean, you'd think, right, normally if someone of this stature died, there'd be like a massive funeral, right? No. This is really the essence of who Moses was and his purpose in life. Moses was a person of tremendous humility. He had a special mission in life from God, and when that mission was over, God buried him. He died and God buried him secretly. One interpretation is that God does not want the tomb of Moses to become a place of worship. Moses was the greatest of all the prophets. When his mission in life was concluded, he was gone, but not forgotten. Here we are talking about it 3,000 years later. God did not want the people dwelling on their grief over Moses. He was buried outside the land. The people's mission was in the land. And one of the big messages in this detail is that we're not supposed to idolize other people. Elevating other people to positions of power in our lives can be dangerous. A person is just a person, no matter how spiritually gifted they might be. We owe our sponsors and leaders respect and attention, but not idolization. Idolizing others, especially when we are in a weak and vulnerable state of recovery, is very natural. We've all probably done it at some point, to some extent, but it is not good for us. We need to focus on the good that others can offer us without granting them excessive power in our lives. And God understood this. God's thought was that the Israelites might be demoralized by the death of Moses and might lack the strength to fight to conquer the promised land. So Moses was buried in secret in a place where no one knows. And if he can be buried in secret, then our fellow human fellows should follow suit with the same degree of humility.
You've been listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible. www.foriwillbewithyou.com